You would please open your Bibles to the book of Jude, the second to the last book in the Bible, book of Jude. And we are coming to the end of a section of this little book in which the Holy Spirit has given us 24 characteristics of what the Bible calls in this book certain men. The scripture says in Jude verse 4, for there are, okay, so whenever you pick up this book, you're reading about something that has taken place, or that is rather taken place in the present tense. That word are is present tense. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Okay, crept in to what? Crept in to where? Crept in among whom? Verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. All right, so clearly, Jude sets out to address a group of people who have this in common. They have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he has sanctified them and because he is preserving them, they gather together to fellowship one with another. And the book of Jude is written to warn those individuals, to warn that group of or that gathering of individuals, that certain men will creep in among them, and that these men will not make themselves known, these men will not identify themselves. So the believers, the saints, will have to take the instruction that is given to them in the Holy Bible and carefully and closely watch and guard their fellowship, lest these certain men should destroy it. Now, what we've learned as we've made our way down through the 24 characteristics of these certain men is that they are not atheists. They believe in God. They do not deny that Jesus Christ is the Savior. They claim to believe the same thing that the born-again ones do. In fact, they may be born again. We don't know, but this much is certain. They want to maintain a continuing, ongoing relationship with the sins of their flesh. And they are not content to stay out in the world and live in that sin. They want to come into the church and be part of the fellowship of people who are saved from sin. That's what you're saved from. Do you know that? You can't find a verse in all the Bible where Jesus saves anyone from hell. The Bible says Christ Jesus saves sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Okay, so the issue is sin. And these certain men, they want to come into the church and say, oh, it's great to be saved. It's great to go to heaven. It's great to know the Lord. But who cares how you live? See? And live how you want to. If you want to commit adultery, commit adultery. As long as you love Jesus. If you want to fornicate, fornicate. As long as you love Jesus. If you want to drink, drink. As long as you love Jesus. You want to smoke dope, smoke dope. As long as you love Jesus. You want to cuss, you want to swear, you want to lie, you want to cheat, you want to steal. That's all right. As long as you love Jesus. That's all that matters. Just love Jesus. Love, love, love. And the Bible said we ought to keep an eye out for these people because they're dangerous and they're deadly. They will wreck and ruin lives and homes and families and churches. They'll do it. You know what it means? Think about this. You know, do you know what it means when a Baptist preacher, this has happened, when a Baptist preacher who's been married for 35 years finds out his wife left him to run away with the head of his deacon board, and they weren't going on a missionary conference. You know what that tells you? The deacon, he's been sitting right there in the church house, sitting right there in the business meeting, sitting right there in the midst of the leadership and the decision-making processes of that church, working hand in hand with that pastor, and in church, believing right, and outwardly living well, where well enough to be appointed and recognized as the head of the deacon board, he is stealing the preacher's wife right out from under his nose. And here's a woman. She's married to the pastor. There she is at the ladies' meeting. There she is in Sunday school. There she is singing in the choir. There she is teaching a ladies' Bible study. There she is singing a special about, oh, how much she loves Jesus. Somebody came creeping in and made a creep out of her. I'm telling you, every single day, men and women walk into our churches who, as far as doctrine is concerned, they believe what we believe. As far as the fundamentals of the faith go, they believe what we believe. As far as the gospel and the plan of salvation is concerned, they believe what we believe. But they are not interested in living a clean, pure, decent, holy life. And as we've seen many, many times in this book of Jude, they're not content to keep their iniquity to themselves. They want to influence others, other people in the church. They want them to join them in their I love Jesus and I live like the devil ways. And the book of Jude was written to help us identify these people so not so we can hate them. Okay, not so we can throw rocks at them, not so we can tie them by the ankles and drag them, tie them to our bumper and drag them down the street. No, it's so we can avoid being influenced by their evil ways. Now, we come in the book of Jude to verse number 17 today, and we're going to read verses 17 through verse 19, and then we'll pray. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words. Do you know where sin creeps back in? When you forget the words. A church without a Bible, it's a church full of sin. The only thing that will keep sin in check in a church is the Word of God. A family without a Bible is a family that will soon be full of sin. The only thing that will keep sin in check in that family is the Word of God. A life without the Scriptures is a life that will soon be filled with sin, because only a continual and constant remembrance of what the Lord said will keep us living like the Lord. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, you might sin and you might not, but guaranteed, if you don't keep God's word hidden in your heart, you don't even have a mite of a chance at living above sin. So the Bible says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all these weeks you've been showing us these characteristics of people who might creep into our church one day. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be able to spot them now. We thank you, Lord, for the warnings. We thank you for the description so we can recognize them. And we are grateful, Lord, that you care enough to tell us what to beware of. And we ask you, Lord, today to open our hearts and help us to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, keep your place in the book of Jude, but now turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. This passage is so similar, the passage we're about to look at, it's so similar that the commentators have said that 2 Peter chapter 3 and the book of Jude are just mirror images one of another. But I'm going to show you they're not. They're different. 2 Peter 3, verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay, 2 Peter, remember, and Jude, remember. Both these writers were concerned that we might forget what we had already learned. Okay, so people say, I've heard that sermon before. I've heard that preached before. That's old stuff. I've heard that a dozen times. Yeah, well, do you know why God wants things repeated? Because his people tend to forget. Verse number 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Okay? Not suggestion, commandment. See that? Okay, remember what? What the Lord and the apostles said in Jude and in 2 Peter. Okay, what the Lord and the apostles said. So you got to read the Gospels, you got to read the epistles, not just the red letters, but the whole New Testament. Okay, verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. All right? Well, in both cases, walking after their own lusts, yes. Everybody's got some. Some people deny them. Some people walk after them. Okay? All right? We are to remember. We're to remember that the Lord and the apostles said some things, and we're to remember to beware of those who come to us walking after their own lusts. But watch this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Ah, but look at Jude again. Verse number 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Peter is warning about scoffers. Jude is warning about mockers. Okay, now here you need to pay attention. Scoff. To scoff means to treat with insolent ridicule, to manifest contempt by derision. Okay, that's what a scoffer is. He ridicules, he derives, he's laughing, he cuts you down and makes fun of you. That's a scoffer. That could be anybody out there making fun of you for what you believe or how you live. Okay, that's what Peter tells you to watch out for. Jude told you to watch out for mockers. Okay, so listen to this. To imitate in contempt or derision, to mimic in contempt or derision. Okay, so look, Peter warned you about men that would make fun of your Christianity and ridicule your Christianity. Jude warns you to beware of men who make fun of your Christianity and ridicule your Christianity while pretending to be like you, mimicking you, while trying to act like you. They're ridiculing and making fun of the way that you live. Now, do you know who's going to mess you up, young man? It will not be a scoffer with a can of beer in his hand out there on the street, okay, telling you that he doesn't want that blankety-blank gospel tract you're trying to hand him. You know who's going to mess you up? It's going to be the fella sitting next to you in the church house with a Bible in his lap, singing the songs with you, who then says, "Let's go get us a can of beer," and puts pressure on you and laughs at you and criticizes you and ridicules you until he can get you to go along with him while he walks in the church house and puts on the mimic and the imitation of being a Christian. Sir, do you know who the most dangerous woman on your job is? It's the one who pretends to be a Christian around you and makes no pretense or deception around the other people. Those are mockers. Okay, the Bible said, "Beware a mocker." They have the same sense of ridicule that the scoffer does. They have the same heart attitude toward righteousness that the scoffer does. But they pretend to be what you are so that they can gain an inroad. Okay, look at this. Look at 2 Peter again. What's the scoffing about? Verse number 4, 2 Peter 3, 4. And saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Okay, making fun of the second coming of Jesus Christ. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." What are they making fun of? The idea of judgment. Oh, sure, yeah, there might be a God, yeah, way back there at creation time somewhere, but, well, you know, God clearly doesn't care what we do because everything's the same as it's always been. So obviously God doesn't care how we live. Hey, it's the same, do you say? He judged this earth when Satan rebelled. Hey, he judged this earth when Noah's day when he sent that flood. Hey, he judged the people of Sodom and Gomorrah with that fire coming down from heaven. Everything is not like it was from the beginning of the creation. Every square foot of this globe bears witness and testimony to that universal flood of Noah's day. Things don't continue like they were. Did you ever read about those lifespans in the book of Genesis? Nobody's living that long today. Something has changed. You ever read about that Garden of Eden? It's not like that now. Something's changed. So what do the scoffers do? They just flat out deny Bible truth. They're open about it. Well, look at Jude, verse number 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Okay? There is no reference. There's no reference in Jude of any denial of Bible truth. Do you see that? Listen, Peter's warning you about people out there, and Jude is warning you about people in here. Is the Bible true? Oh, yeah, the Bible's true. Which Bible? Oh, yeah, the King James Bible. Well, do you believe Jesus Christ is God? Oh, yeah. Do you believe there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ? Well, sure, I believe that. Well, man, then why don't you come with us? We're going to go out and tell people about the Lord Saturday night. Well, you know, You got to be kidding. I got somewhere else I need to be. Well, really, where are you going? Oh, I've just got somewhere else to be. You know, you probably don't even want to know about it. But I'm going to have a good time. Don't you worry. And then they start working on you. They don't deny what you believe. They even pretend to live like you. But they have nothing but contempt for the preaching of righteousness and holiness. And they can do nothing but despise men and women and boys and girls who deny the lust of their flesh and are trying to live for Jesus. And they'll chip away and chip away and chip away and chip away. And the longer you hang out with them, the greater the influence they begin to have on you. That passage in 2 Peter, that would include Hollywood, that's Nashville, that's the bars and the clubs, that's the dancing girls. Okay, that scene. Okay, that's 2 Peter. The bunch in Jude, though, these are the ones who smirk at the preaching, roll their eyes at that verse, give you a little lecture on the way home about how crazy all that stuff really was, you know. You better watch out for that bunch. They don't deny anything in this Bible. They just don't live it. It's all true, it's all right, but you know, God keeps his nose out of my business. Does he? All right, let's go back to Jude. Look at verse 17. But, beloved. Well, I just don't think that's very loving. Beloved. He was writing to people that he loved. Do you love your children? If you do, you'll tell them not to ride their bicycle blindfolded down the highway. If you love your children, you'll tell them that a bed sheet is not a parachute that they can use to jump off the roof. If you love your children, you'll warn them about things you know will hurt them. Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Sensual, having not the Spirit. Sensual, let's look at that. Sensual, pertaining to the senses as distinct from the mind or soul. Okay, they're sensual. You know what matters to these people? Not what the Bible says. You know what matters to these people? Not what matters in eternity. You know what matters to these people? How they feel. Well, I just feel, I don't feel that way. Well, the way I feel about it, you see? Have you got a Bible? Anybody have a Bible? Hold it up. Let me see if anybody brought a Bible today. Amen. All right. Thank you. Do you know why God wrote that thing? So that you wouldn't spend your life doing what you felt like, but so that you could know what was right, so you could know what would stand at the judgment seat of Christ in eternity and deny your feelings. Deny your feelings, that is, if they violate the Word of God or the things that are going to last forever. Why did she leave him? Because she felt like it. Why did he hit her? He felt like it. Why did they quit on God? They felt like it. Why did they fall out with why'd they have that falling out with that brother? They felt like it. Well, why doesn't she get right? Why doesn't he get right? Why don't they get right? Why doesn't the church get right? Why don't the brethren get right? Because they don't feel like it. They're sensual. They can't think it through and do what's right because that's not what is important to them. That what's important is how they feel. They can't get on their face before God and weigh the thing in the light of eternity because that's not how they feel. Pertaining to the senses as distinct from the mind or soul. Not only that, but sensual has another meaning. Now, do you know how this music that came from the Rolling Stones and the Doors and the Guess Who and all the other pot-headed dope addicts that's in our churches now, do you know how that got in there? Sensual people. Well, that music just makes me feel good. Yeah, but is it right? Well, I just get a big feeling when I hear it. Yeah, but is it going to stand up in eternity? Yeah, they got churches now where they have little dancing girls get up. They got on little tutus or mini skirts, and they do a little choreographed dances for Jesus. I'm sure it gets a lot of boys in the church, but it's wicked as hell. But see, when I say that, that makes people feel bad. And so I shouldn't say it, right? But sensual. I'm just giving you the Bible here. Sensual also means carnal, pertaining to the flesh. Did you ever look up some verses in your Bible on the flesh? They're not very pretty. In fact, the flesh, the Bible says, is enmity with God. Flesh or body. Okay, so you know what? Do you know what you get from morning, noon, and night on what is called Christian TV? Healers who can't heal anybody. And every time you turn that program on, somebody's perverting one of the same five verses to try and heal somebody that can't get healed. Why? Because they're sensual. They're carnal. They don't feel good, and they want to feel good. There was a preacher, he was preaching against one of those healers one time, preaching against them. Okay, one of those fakers, one of those liars. And a couple got mad, and they came to talk to the pastor after the service. And the husband, he just stood there while the wife basically scolded the preacher. And she put her finger in the preacher's face, you know, and said, "Let me tell you something, mister. I've read all those verses. I know all those verses, but my husband has a bad back. And when he watches those men at night, he feels better. And we don't want to hear any more preaching against what we like." And so they left the church with a King James Bible and agreeing with that church and that pastor on all the fundamental points of doctrine in the Bible. But they would just rather be lied to and feel good than line up their mind and their soul with the Word of God. These are perilous times we live in. Now, the Scripture says this in the book of Jude, there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves. Okay, and here's the final thing we want to notice about this. They separate themselves. For this, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. They separate themselves. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, I've said this many times, and I really believe this, that if you come into a church like this without any background in the Bible, without any exposure at all to Bible preaching before you ever got here, it's going to take you a good 2 years to get adjusted. If you can stick it out for 2 years, you can get enough of the Bible and get a balance to understand what we're talking about. Now, here's what people think. They think that it's Brother Bob who's tearing the body of Christ all to pieces by preaching the Bible. But the Word of God has it this way. God made a body. And these certain men, what they're doing is they're trying to get the arm of that body to leave the body, okay, and come out and hang out with them apart from the body, okay. I'm not preaching to separate the body. That's not what this is about. I'm not preaching to drive any parts of the body out. I'm preaching to keep these creeps from amputating parts of this body. That's what I'm after. I don't want one tiny bitty toe going with these guys. I don't want one little earlobe going with these guys. See, people who come in here, they might misjudge, and they might say, oh, that preacher, he's tearing the body all to pieces. I'm not tearing the body all to pieces. I'm after the certain men who try and creep in and tear things up. And I don't know how to convince you of that, but God knows it's true. So look at this here in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it's a funny thing. A sensual man gets feeling bad, so he goes to a doctor. He says, Doc, man, I'm feeling bad. Things just aren't going good. Doctor says, well, let's run some tests on you. They run some tests. The doctor says, well, you got something growing in there. It's cancer, and it's just eating your body up. And so here's what we need to do. We're going to use all of our skill, all of our expertise, all of our training, and we're going to go in there and we're going to get that thing out of your body and dump it. Well, I don't think that's very nice to treat poor little cancer that way. Nobody talks that way. He would say, Doc, is it going to hurt me? It's going to hurt me, right? Well, yeah, it's going to hurt. Are you sure you got to get it out? Yeah, it's got to go. It'll kill you. It'll do some damage. Okay, do whatever you got to do, Doc. And then they come to church, and the Bible says, okay, here's the test to run to see if there's cancer. And if you find cancer, you better get it out, because it's going to eat the body up. But that's so mean. I don't think you should be so mean to poor little cancer. You're sensual. You're not thinking. You got to get that mind in this book. So watch this. They separate themselves, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, you want to see something here? Endeavoring to keep the unity. And that's where the modernist stops. And that's why the liberal church is full of sinners. But that's not where God stopped. It's endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. All right, keep your finger right there and look back in Jude, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. The purpose of the Lord is to unite his body in and through the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit's first name? You just heard it. Anybody? What's the Spirit's first name? Holy. The Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit. You have your creeps over here, and they want to get that little thing together without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're not holy. Okay? We're for unity. We just don't want to unite with creeps. We're not for the unity without the Holy Spirit. We're for the unity in and through the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a conflict there. All right, back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. The bond, you see that? Unity, bond of peace. Okay, that's what we're for. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. All right? Why did he give those gifts? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? To unite all the imperfect members of the body. Who did God warn you to watch out for? Those who separate themselves. They do not want to be a part of this unity. They want to create a little faction. They want a little following. They want to pull somebody off in this direction and that direction. They're diametrically opposed to what the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish. We've got a lot of young married couples in our church. So listen, do you know what will make your marriage blessed? When the husband says to his bride, I am not a perfect man, but I am willing to do whatever is necessary to make this a perfect union. And when she looks to him and says, I am not the perfect wife, but I will do everything in my power to make this a perfect union. That willingness and that desire will hold your marriage together. Not perfection, but a mutual agreement that the whole is more important than the parts. And do you know what? Listen, a person who is led and controlled by the Holy Spirit, when there's a falling out with the brethren, when there's a problem in the church, when there's a rub with someone or something that's preached, you know what they do? Someone controlled by the Holy Spirit, you know what they do? They come and they say, man, this isn't worth ruining the relationship, though. What can I do to hold this thing together for Jesus' sake? You know what the certain man crowd does, though? They get any little whiff of discontent, and they come and they say, that's why you shouldn't be part of that stuff. I've been telling you, man. You see the difference? See the difference? Ladies, when you've got a girlfriend who is opposed to your unity with your husband, you better dump her. Get rid of her. And sir, if you got a friend who's opposed to your unity with your wife, you better get rid of him. Young people, you got a friend who's got no respect for their parents, and they're trying to encourage you to have no respect for yours, That's not your friend. That's the devil's friend there. Now, the body of Christ is not perfect. God is working to bring us to perfection. But in the meantime, if we will yield to the Holy Spirit, we can stay united despite our imperfections. That certain men crowd, they will pull away at the least provocation and start pulling on others to go with them. I've said this before. Think about this. Why does somebody go to a church where they don't like the preaching? Why does somebody come to a place where they don't like the standards? Jude tells you the answer. They're surrendered to the lusts of their flesh, and they want companions in their misery and in their rebellion. That's all it can be. I don't like you preaching against liberal churches. Then go find you a liberal church. I don't like him saying that healers are fakers. Then go join a church with fake healers. I don't understand it. This is what we believe. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what we believe. Well, I don't like that. But the singing is good. Well, okay, we'll send you some recordings of the music. Listen, I don't want any member of the body to leave. But if you're creeping around the church trying to get somebody to join you in your discontent, why don't you go somewhere where you will be content or happy? Leave the body here alone. You say, but you're saying we ought to get rid of that member of the body. Yes, to maintain the unity in the Spirit. Is that cruel? Is that mean? I don't think so. We've got a nice thing going on around here. And we're not going to let one person mess it up. Let's read some more here. Verse number 13. Chapter 4, Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So what does that tell you? We're not perfect yet, but that's what we're heading for. Unto. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Okay, you got to make up your mind. So you got to get out of that sensual thing. And look, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay, they're right there. They're waiting. The Bible said they're waiting to snatch that hand and that part of the body and pull it away from the body. Verse 15. But speaking in love. Oops. Read that from the sensual version, didn't I? But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, so look, Jesus is the head, right? Whatever part of his body you are, whether an arm, a leg, a hand, a foot, you're supposed to be more and more like him every day. That's the whole idea. But do you know what that other crowd wants? Those certain men creeping in, they want to stay just like they are, separate from the rest of the body. The body that's trying to conform to Christ's image. They don't want any part of that stuff. Separate from the work of the Holy Spirit, who wants to make them like Christ. Look what God wants to do. Verse 16. From whom, that's Jesus Christ, the whole body fitly joined together. What is the Holy Spirit working to do? Join us together. What are the certain men Jude warns about trying to do? Pull us apart. That's why every time somebody you go to church with tells you something negative or critical about somebody else that you go to church with, they are in opposition to the work of the Holy Spirit. God's trying to put that thing together while they're trying to keep them pulled apart. Someone said, boy, isn't brother so-and-so a blessing? Well, yeah, he is, but did you know? Blah, 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 blah. Boy, sister so-and-so, she sure is a joy to be around. Yeah, but do you know she blah, 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 blah? Boy, I'm glad those people are in our church. Yeah, but, you know, they let their kids blah, 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 blah. That's the stuff we're talking about. That's opposition to unity. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. There's nothing new being added. It's all there. But it's being put closer together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you know why a man sacrifices some of his desires, some of his cherished opinions, and some of his dreams and goals? Because he loves his wife. And do you know why a woman sacrifices some of her dreams, her plans, her intentions, her aims? Because she loves her husband. Do you know why a man will give up this, a woman will give up that, and together they'll do without this and do without that? Because they love their children. And do you know what makes a great church? It is not just believing the right things. It's having a heart that says, I'll back down if I need to. I'll wait on that if I need to. I'll be long-suffering if I need to. I'll be patient if I need to. I'll realize it's not a perfect body. The Holy Spirit's still working on it. If I need to. But I'm not going to be the one to tear this thing apart. I'm not even going to contribute to tearing it apart. Okay, let's get one last comparison here. The book of Jude and 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Book of Jude and 1 Peter chapter 2. You say, preacher, have we got any of those certain men around here? Well, I doubt there's any of us that could say, I've never been guilty of some of these types of things. We've all got an old nature, amen? We've all got lusts in our flesh. We all have that sin nature within us that wants to tug against what the Spirit of God is trying to do. We're all capable of it. We ought to examine ourselves first before we get out the telescope and start looking at everybody else. All right, watch this. Verse number 18. 1 Peter 2:18. How that they told you there should be mockers. This is verse 18 of Jude. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Okay? They're walking after something. What are they following? What are they following? What are they following after? Their own ungodly lusts. Okay? That's what they're pursuing. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Okay, now watch this. The lust of my flesh is walking one way. Jesus is walking the other way. Okay? Now watch what happens if you walk after Jesus. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled. Okay, well, if you walk in those steps, you're going to be reviled. But he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now look at this. The certain man who's walking after the lust of his own flesh, he finds out that Brother Joe, he said something bad about him behind his back. So he says, that's it. That's all. I'm not taking it anymore. I knew that guy was no good. That's the last straw. Okay, that's what all our flesh wants to do. Okay, get away from everybody that doesn't think we're God. But those that are walking after the Spirit say, yeah, I know it hurts my feelings. It did hurt my feelings, but I guarantee I've probably hurt someone's feelings before. And I wish he hadn't said that, but maybe he just didn't understand the situation. And even if he did, I know what the Lord would have me to do about it. Just forgive him and go on and follow Jesus. Big difference. See, the thing is not about you suffering as the only perfect member of an imperfect church. This thing is about appreciating the fact that God is still bringing everybody on to perfection. And I can either help in that process or I can fight against that process. But as I fight against it, I'm in league with those certain men who would ruin the body. Not the Holy Spirit that would bring the body to perfection. And so the Bible warns us in the book of Jude that the final way you can spot those certain men is instead of magnifying the grace of God toward their erring brethren, you know, showing some grace toward the brethren, they magnify the errors of the brethren. Instead of taking that sin upon themselves and carrying it to Calvary like Jesus did, they take that sin to their neighbor and try and throw a piece over here and a piece over there and a part over here and a part over there. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit to pull that body apart. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring every member of that body closer to Jesus Christ. I'll say this, young people and old people alike, and everybody in between, if somebody will talk to you about me when I'm not present, they'll talk to me about you when you're not present. We've all got to watch that. We've all got to be careful about that. But you beware of those that separate themselves rather than submit and do whatever they've got to do to bring about that unity of the body. Now, I'm sure that I've probably done some things to rub you the wrong way. I've said some things that you probably didn't like. You're supposed to say, no, Brother Bob, no. Well, I guess that wouldn't be honest. At least you're being honest. And someday, maybe, some of you will do something to rub me the wrong way. No. Well, when that happens, we can do one of two things. We can respond like the flesh does and separate ourselves, or we can respond like Jesus does and say, that's okay, I'll take it. I love him enough, I'll take it. Well, good news. That's all Jude has to say about those certain men. So next time we'll get back to what the Lord says about those that he saved. Scoffers are out there. Scoffers are out there. They don't do the damage that the mocker does who gets inside. Watch out for the imitator who ridicules the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're so grateful that you've given us so many examples, and that Jesus Christ is our greatest example of how to live. But you've given us cross-references to look at and to compare so that we can really understand your word. And we're grateful for that. We pray, Lord, that if you've spoken to any hearts today, some people need to get on their knees and ask for forgiveness, and that you'd help them, Lord, to get right and show them how you'd have them live toward their brothers and sisters in Christ, or a family member if it be the problem. But Lord, we're grateful that we have the Word of God to tell us how we're supposed to be living and how we're supposed to be forgiving and help each other to grow in the Lord. Thank you that we have your Holy Spirit to lead us the right way in this Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.